Amen. Well, today we're continuing our series on fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Today is peace. I think it's actually pretty clear today that we need peace. I think as a preacher, life to a large extent has gotten easier now that everyone knows the world isn't actually, you know, perfect. I'm not sure it ever was. One of the big discussions I had with our founding pastor, Robert, was whether or not today was worse than it was. And he went, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, man. This doesn't hold a candle. I said, I don't know about that. But it really is helpful to me that we know that there's problems. Because until you acknowledge you've got a problem, like AA or being human, you don't actually know that you need a solution. This year, there's been a lot of instances where people have failed, moral failures, leaders failing. And I was having a conversation with a church member about it a little while ago, and they had a really powerful line that said, man, I don't know if I'm getting holier, or I'm just too tired to sin like that. Like, I don't know, maybe there's just some point in time, I think, where you realize it isn't worth the chaos. It isn't worth the crazy. The consequences of your sin is just exhausting over and over and over again. There's something about peace that is offered that becomes more attractive. Although I'll tell you, I think there's a sense in which we think it's boring. If you were to ask me what peace is, or ask before I was particularly a preacher and I'd seen it lived out in countless lives, I might have told you that peace is like angels playing harps and heavens on clouds, right? Or once I went to a monastery for a week. The bishop at the time took 65 young people to a monastery in rural France, and they had like 3-hour worship services, except like 2 hours of it was silence. Can you imagine 16-year-old Arthur being quiet for 2 hours? There's this piece of me that, P-I-E-C-E, of me that was like, man, what horrible peace. Like, I sat there and go, I get actually the song, Only the Good Die Young, what it says, I'd rather laugh with the sinners and cry with the saints, because man, those saints are sometimes boring. No one's ever thought that before. But here's what I want to tell you. Peace in Scripture is actually far different than what we imagine in our culture. Peace in Hebrew, the word is shalom, which is actually about completeness. It's about wholeness. So even yesterday, I had this image of peace, the way that the Bible intended it. So this weekend, I drove back last night, so I missed the second night of it, but a bunch of dads from same school decided to go in on a pig hunt and a farm out here, which was a lot of fun. Pigs are invasive species. It's good and moral. Okay, so, but we were out there and hanging out, and we decided to have our wives and kids come up and hang out during the afternoon. And it was, honestly, it was great. Like, I think there was a moment where we were like, it's going to be way more peaceful not to have 10 kids under the age of 7 at this thing. Except that last night, I'm sitting there in a little Adirondack kind of chair, watching the sunset go down. You had a skeet deal going over here. It's like, literally, you've got 10 kids under the age of 7, multiple gunshots hanging out, but I'm staring at the sunset. I'm going, actually, this is more like peace. Because this is actually the way the world ought to be. People hanging out in community, loving one another. That we were actually there in this moment, sitting there going, how gorgeous is this evening? How beautiful is this moment? There was a noise all around me, and yet I went, this is wholeness. Joy of kids, laughter of people praying with one another, of God doing something in our hearts. And I was sitting there thinking, what a joy it is to gather here. And I thought, this is what I'm preaching on tomorrow. That peace in Scripture is not a bunch of holy people singing Latin somewhere, although on occasion there's its place for it. But rather, it's about living your lives in wholeness with God and with one another, in peace and community with our entire world. And when there's destruction and devastation, like there is in a hurricane, you want to know what peace looks like? It being the Christians that show up and provide food and muck out the nasty drywall. It's Christians showing up and saying, I know the world isn't quite right, but we're here to do what matters. And the place to begin when it comes to peace is always with us. That in Scripture, the problem as we face it in our world is actually The story of Eve and Adam saying, I know what's right for me. I'm going to choose what's right for me and forget what God wants for me. It's a rebellion against God. It's a deciding that I'm right and God's wrong. Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. And this is where we get in Ephesians 2, which is where we're going to be sitting for a while today. It says this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Often I think what happens is we begin with a little sin. Matt Chandler had this great illustration where he said sin's just like a tiger cub where you sit there and you go, oh, how cute, except it grows up to eat you. Like, that's the nature of sin, is you start on this process and you end up going down it and it ends up actually destroying you, that the cravings of the flesh, wanting what's good for you at the expense of your neighbor, wanting what's good for you and prideful for you is not actually good. It's not good for your marriages. It's not good for any of us. That what God has done with us is said, stop it. I have come down for you so you might be whole. And yet we choose destruction. Most of the lack of peace in our personal lives is because we choose it. We choose it. I mean, I had this story once. So I was in middle school, sixth grade. And I was going to a youth retreat, and we were going from a different part of the country, so my dad decided to call up and see if I could ride with another church. And so I end up sitting in one of the worst seats in the 15-passenger van, the middle in the front, because then all you can do is chat with, like, the adults when you're in sixth grade. That was what I thought. And particularly, I didn't know anyone there. And he sits down, and my dad, for the record, is a theologian and a church historian. He's now a bishop at whatever, mostly, like, he taught in seminaries. So there's a whole score of students for whom that's what he taught. And he taught them about Jesus and Methodism and all that kind of stuff. And I remember I sat in the front center, and the guy looks, he goes, so you're Jones, right? Dad Scott? I go, yes, which always makes me nervous. Like, you're just like, I'm not him. I don't know. And he goes, are you one of the twins? And I go, well, I have a twin sister. I thought, well, that's an odd question. I didn't know he knew anything about me. And I go, yeah. And he goes, I lost an argument about in seminary because of you. I'm like, he goes, you were your dad's illustration for original sin. I remember I was sixth grade, like, here I am already nervous. I don't know anyone in the group. And here I am, you know, Webster's Dictionary, open it up, original sin, Arthur Jones, right there. That's the story. And I go, I'm sorry? And he goes, do you know the pacifier story? And I go, oh, yeah. So my dad always used to start off his class like this. How many pacifiers does it take for twins? I've used this illustration before, but it remains a helpful one. It ain't two, it's six. One for each mouth and one for each hand, because at the earliest moment I would choose to make my sister cry if I could. Given the choice between peace and no peace, I chose crying, like making my sister cry. I chose no peace. That's the story. And I'm sitting there in sixth grade going, this is really the story you're telling, like, me and pacifiers with all these kids, and I'm trying to be cool and it's not working, and, you know, I'm in sixth grade, no one's cool, and pardon me for sixth graders, you're cool. But I didn't feel cool, and it was hard, and I sat there and realized, as I've grown older, this is what we do all the time. The reason we don't have peace at our Thanksgiving table is often because we choose to poke the bear, or our sister or brother chooses to poke us, and then we end up in a fight. So the definition of social media is you end up having some piece where you start to, some section where you start to go, well, I just want to poke you. I want to frustrate you. I want to be a part of it. And the question is this, how do we get peace when we are continually provoked? So often I think of it like, have you ever had nerve pain when it just kind of keeps getting provoked and provoked and provoked and you just can't get it to stop? Jesus offers us that way. He says this in Ephesians 2, 4 through 9, but because of his great love for us, I love when scripture has a massive, you know, here's the problem, but there's a big but with a solution. It says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I've got Kyle here. He's going to come out and help me with an illustration here today because I want to give you a practical way to understand what happens when we choose to sin. A practical way to understand, oh, and Kim, I brought a friend today. A practical way for us to understand what happens. Because what we end up doing in our lives all too often is we end up creating our own pain because we're telling ourselves some story. We aren't kind of resting in where God is and where God wants us to be. It's not an accident, by the way, that Jesus is in the middle of this. But just imagine this is any relationship you have, right? You got a, me and my wife or something, and all of a sudden I don't text her when I should, or she doesn't text me when she should, and I go, uh-oh, this is like a ladder of inference. I go, uh-oh, maybe she's not happy with me today. You know what? She wasn't happy last time. Uh-oh, here we go. And you all of a sudden realize that without a conversation with your spouse, you are so many rungs up the ladder, you haven't had a conversation about it. Okay, here's what happens in scripture too, okay? I just want to use this as an illustration. This could be your boss, this could be your parents, this could be your sister, this could be, I mean, any scenario of relationship you have where you start to tell yourselves a story and you start going down and compounding your brokenness. That's what happens. Here we have it. So like this is what happens in scripture so often is you end up thinking, well, I'm just going to do this little sin, this little bit of disobedience. And then you go, well, I'm already there. You might as well start up. You start sitting there thinking, well, I mean, everyone else does it. It's the way it goes. You start keep going up further and further. And all of a sudden, you're further away from the other people, but they're up on their ladders too, okay? You end up having this entire story where you're up top, on top of a ladder, looking out at your life, and you're going, well, they're not doing it right, and they're not doing it right, and can you believe that he or she did this, and this is where you sit? This is where you sit in Ephesians, broken, reigning in hell over serving in heaven. Friends, this happens a lot. In almost every relationship, in almost every story, where you're sitting up there and you're alone, and every time you take one step higher, I'm not going to go higher because people told me they had no peace when I was up here on the ladder. But I want you to see this is where most of us spend our days. Most of us spend our days up here looking out for why the other person did something wrong. Looking out, blaming someone else for something. Our boss for not recognizing our goodness. Our spouse, our friend, someone. And we end up climbing some ladder that doesn't actually help us at all. This is not what God wants for you. God does not want you to be up, sitting there by yourself, alone, sitting in the pit of your own despair. Repentance, by the way, means turning around. Just go back down the ladder. Just retreat. Don't do this thing. This is not a good pattern. Jesus does not want this for you. In fact, he's trying to get you to have a different way. This is why he says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Because it's the way that you just release your own baggage and come back down the ladder. This is what he says in John 14. Jesus says this, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. In Scripture, there are two kinds of people, Jews and Gentiles, Jews and everybody else. I don't know how you think about two different kinds of people. Maybe you think about it in terms of politics. Maybe you think about it in terms of the people who've done you wrong. Maybe you think of it in terms of the people who agree with me and the people that don't, and I'm right and they're wrong. But the challenge of Scripture is this. You and I have got to come to a place where we recognize that we also are sinners, that we also are broken, and that other people are up there on their ladder and they're doing the best they can, but the only answer is to serve Jesus and come back down off the ladder. The only answer is to find some bit of peace. If your enemy or your friends that you're struggling with or your family is up on the other side of the ladder, the only thing that bridges you is Jesus. And the only way to do it is to come down off your ladder. Here's what it says in Ephesians. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. That's where we sit right now, Gentiles and Jews over there. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh, in this body, and in this, his blood, with commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by the Spirit. As Kim and Kyle come and take away our ladders for a second, I want you to see for just a moment. If you've got division, if you've got struggle, and you're looking for peace, it can only be found here. Someone that can come in the middle of your brokenness, in the middle of your pain, in the middle of your sin. He who had no sin bore our sin. Friends, you're up on a ladder today somewhere. We all are. Sitting there in our own isolation, better choosing to reign in hell than serve in heaven. And serving in heaven is like that moment when I'm sitting there watching a sunset and my kids are noisy. And you realize that God wanted community with him and with one another. Friends, communion is not just connection between, or peace is not just some moment with a sunset and your kids. Peace also is brothers and sisters who come together and serve together. Serve those in Tennessee. Serve those across the sea. Serve one another in the pews next to us. And he came together on the night in which he was betrayed, and he says, I'm going to give you a meal that's going to demonstrate that peace. Because I promise you, there is someone in this room you disagree with. Someone in some other church this morning that you disagree with. There are people who don't even know that they are broken, and our only posture is to receive the grace that God has given us. So God gave us a means. He actually took the bread, and he says, I'm going to break my body. This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat of this as often as you can in remembrance of me. After the supper, he took the cup, poured it out for his disciples, and said, this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you can in remembrance of me. God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. God, right now, there are people for whom their emotions are like a raw nerve. Their souls are broken and bitter. God, would you release us? Would you free us for joyful obedience? God, may we be your body and your blood, redeemed by your life and death and resurrection, that we might be your hands and your feet for a broken and hurting world. God, may peace begin with us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Will's going to come up. We serve here in a process called intinction, which just a fancy word for means that you dip the bread into the juice. Will, this is the body of Christ that is broken for you and the blood of Christ that is shed for you. This is not my table. This is the table of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which means you are welcome. No matter how high you are up on the ladder, come down and see that God is good. We have gluten-free at the back to make sure that everyone is able to take. Would those who serve come forward at this time as we continue to worship, as we receive the peace that God has for us to go out and live the life he intends. Amen.